Hear God's word now as Sandra's going to come and read to us from Psalm 150. So please be seated.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So we come now to the final psalm. How many psalms have you been covering, Mike? Eight or nine psalms, right. That out of 150. So the psalms are wonderful, aren't they? They're the songs of fellowship of the Hebrew people. Everything is in there. They contain the whole lot. And today we're on to the final psalm, a short psalm, Psalm 150, which is the final one of a set of five psalms, which are all psalms of praise. And the key word in all of them is Alleluia. You know, we're used to saying Alleluia, but Alleluia means praise the Lord in Hebrew. And Psalm 150 is unusual among many of the psalms in that it is pure praise. All the way through, it's about praise. There's nothing else in there at all. It's very unusual because most of the psalms have at least some element of lament. So they say, "Oh Lord, I am struggling, but I'm still going to praise you." That kind of thing. But if you look through all the psalms, there are very few that are just praise. And I think that's important because most of us, when we praise God, are praising him out of a situation of need. Yeah. Sometimes there's that time when you're on top of the mountain and you just praise, unadulterated praise. But very often, praise comes out of the experiences of our lives. Now, interestingly, the psalms end with a psalm which is all praise. They begin with a psalm about the Torah, about the word. Blessed is the man who meditates on the word of God. So they begin with the word, they end with praise. And I want you to notice in this Psalm 150 that all of the times that the word praise is used are an imperative. That means a command. This is not saying it would be a good idea to praise the Lord. Oh, might suggest that you do. Actually, it's a command. Praise the Lord. Alleluia. Yeah. So the question is, how do we go about praise? And Psalm 150 answers quite a few of those questions. So the first question is, who is to be praised? Okay, and that is answered in the very first verse. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lots of people want praise. Lots of things are demanding of praise, but actually only God is the one that we should be praised. Charles Spurgeon said this: to give the least particle of his honour to another is shameful treason. To refuse to render it is heartless robbery. Yeah. In other words, you know, God actually deserves all of our praise. So let's praise him. The Lord is worthy of all of our praise. So that answers that. Who are we meant to praise? We praise the Lord. Yahweh. Where are we to praise him? Well, verse 1, praise him in his sanctuary. Well, that's what we're here for today. When we come to church on a Sunday, we come together with God's people to praise God corporately together. And so that's one answer, but can we only praise God when we're together with God's people in church? No. In fact, it says, praise him in his mighty heavens. How many of you have climbed to the top of a mountain and looked over the incredible view when you get to the top and gone, wow, praise the Lord? Yeah? So the answer is, where can you praise him? Well, anywhere and everywhere. We don't have to go to church in order to praise him. But it is, there's something great, isn't there, about worshipping together with God's people rather than worshipping on your own. You can do both. They're both necessary, alone and together. And it's wonderful. I love coming when I can play music with these wonderful guys here. Usually Mike books me when they're away. But it is lovely. When you're actually worshipping together or playing music or praising together, there's something exciting and good about that, isn't there? So, why is God praised? Well, the answer is in verse 2. Praise him for his acts of power. When we see the magnificent mountains and the grandeur of creation, it draws praise from us. Or even when you look at the intricate details of a feather. I have a sparrowhawk feather and a red kite feather on my desk. And they are absolutely incredible. Just spend time looking at a feather, how it self-heals. When you stroke it, it all clicks back together again, and just totally amazing. So we praise him for his acts of power, what he's done, his works, but we also praise him for his surpassing greatness, for who he is. You know, so often we tend to think, what does that person do? Oh, they're a doctor. All right. They're an engineer. But actually, you know, it's who we are that matters to God more than what we do. And so actually it's who God is that matters as much as what he does in the world. So we praise him for what he does. We thank him for what he does, but we praise him for who he is. He is Yahweh. He is the Lord. He is the King, the God Almighty. Okay, so the next question in verses 3 to 5, how is he to be praised? Well, this psalm tends to focus on one particular aspect of music. And music is really important. Even if you're not a musician, actually, you probably enjoy listening to music of some kind or another. How is he to be praised? Praise him on the trumpet. Praise him on the trumpet. Spurgeon says it's the loudest and the clearest note. Yeah, I mean, when you have an orchestra, you know, sometimes you've got soft strings and flutes and things. And then, but when the trumpets come in, it's really loud. It's a clarion call. Now, I learnt the trumpet from age 11 to 16. You would not want to hear me play the trumpet. It may be loud, but it would not be a clear call. I really wasn't that good at it, to be honest. In fact, I found one of my school reports the other day, and Mr. Codling, who taught me trumpet, he wrote down something like, needs to work on his tone production. My next-door neighbour had a different way of putting it. Shut up! As I practiced in my bedroom. A trumpet is a loud instrument, and so I gave up the trumpet when I was 16, and at 15 I bought myself my first second-hand guitar. Partly motivation was that I thought the trumpet wasn't a very sociable instrument, but if I could go to a party with a guitar, then I'd have all the girls around, you know. Didn't entirely work that way, but the trumpet speaks loud and clear of who God is. In the Bible, the trumpet was played at the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. It was blown at the proclamation of the Jubilee. It was blown at the coronation of a king. It was a call to battle. It will be blown at the second coming of Jesus and at the raising of the dead. The trumpet sounds something important, and I do love to hear a good bit of trumpet playing. I love a bit of the Corellia Suite by Sibelius. Bum 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 bum. You know, when the trumpets come in, they're lovely, fantastic. Okay, so praise him on the trumpet. Praise him on the harp and lyre. Well, these are instruments which we don't see so much in church, although, of course, in Wales you might see more harps. Harps are a beautiful instrument. A lyre is a smaller kind of harp, but they're stringed instruments. And Charles Spurgeon, in his commentary, notes that they bring more dulcet tones. So there we go. The strings are more dulcet, softer kind of sound. Of course, the modern equivalent of a harp and lyre would be a violin, bass, guitar, mandolin, and a piano, of course. A piano is a stringed instrument, although you can't see the strings because it's in a wooden box. But it's interesting, isn't it, that we have our misconceptions, our preconceptions about this. Once I was leading worship as a local preacher at Sandy Baptist Church in Bedfordshire. And after the service, the lady came up to me and she's most distressed. How could you? How could you? I said, I'm really sorry. What have I done? She said, you played a guitar at the table of the Lord. And to her, somehow the guitar was incredibly offensive. I don't know why, but it was. My answer to that is, if you go to the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, there is a Stradivarius guitar, and the thing is, it has 10 strings, and the Bible says, "Praise Him on the instrument of 10 strings." So I think that's pretty good, don't you? Okay, my guitar's got 6. John's got 4, so we add them together. That makes 10. You know, it's cultural, isn't it, about instruments? And the harp and lyre and the psaltery were the instruments of 3,000 years ago. And today, we praise Him on whatever instruments we have available to us. Tambourine and dancing. Well, I tell you what, BBC sound engineers hate tambourines. And you know why? Because when you start... Oh, I don't know where they've gone. When you start rattling a tambourine, it's such a cutting sound that the microphones... There we go, well done. The microphones pick it up. And so if anyone has a tambourine, then the BBC people don't like it because the microphone right over there will pick it up. So they're quite difficult to record. They drown everything else. However, there we go. Tambourine and dancing. Dancing in church? You should come to church in Kenya. You should come to some of the churches in Kenya. And even the vicar, in all of his... When I went to an Anglican church in Kenya, with all his robes, the vicar is dancing around like this. It's using our whole body, isn't it? Using our whole body. And this is an old... I've told you this many times before, but the Baptist dance. Ready? Well... We can't all be that exuberant, but to move your body, you know, to use your whole body in worship, in praising God, is something this psalm is telling us about. Strings and flute, we can praise Him on. Now, in the authorized version, it says strings and organ, but actually the word means pipe. So a pipe... You've got pipes in the organ up there. You have a pipe as a flute or any woodwind instrument. So when the translator made it into organ, he was thinking, I mean, in medieval times, Baroque, you get complicated organs like this. But before that, simple pipes to play flute. But they also make a soft kind of sound. And then the cymbals. Mentioned twice. Some people, I can't stand drums in church. Well, I mean, they can be the heavenly anthem that drowns all music but their own. However, when played properly, as Cecile's gonna, there we go, lovely. Not only is it mentioned once, but twice. The clash of cymbals, that's the crash cymbal, and then the resounding cymbal, that's what's called the ride cymbal, where you get this sound anyway. So basically, how do you praise God? Well, with all music available to you, I think is the answer of this psalm. But then there's a question, what if I don't play a musical instrument? What if I can't sing? I mean, my dad's just turned 93, and he's always been a keen singer in choirs and churches as a bass, and I learned to sing the bass part standing alongside my dad, but he's really frustrated because he can't sing like he used to be able to sing. Actually, I've stood next to him, and he does still sing, but he can't sing like he used to, you know? And I would say, well, just sing from your heart. Some people lose their voice. Sing from your heart. You don't have to be able to sing or play a musical instrument. In fact, in Colossians 3, we read psalms, worshiping with psalms, hymns, songs, spiritual songs, and whatever you do. There is an aspect here of whatever you do, you can use it to praise God. It doesn't have to be all music. And worship doesn't have to be all music. The reading of the word and the prayers and is all part of that praise. And as the hymn Horatius Bonar says, praise in the common things of life, praise in each duty and each deed, however small and mean. Let all my life in every part be praised. That's what this psalm is actually saying. It's not saying just that we've got to be musicians all the time. There's another question here. Two more questions. Who is to praise him? Who is to praise him? Well, the answer is here. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's everybody. Yeah, well, that's every living person. But actually, you know, it's not only every human being that is meant to praise God. The whole of creation praises God. Just look back to Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him all his angels. So when we worship, the angels are worshiping with us. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. That's important because in the old days, people thought that the sun and moon were gods. But God made them. So we don't worship the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon worship the God who made them. We're also told elsewhere that let the trees of the field clap their hands. Yeah. And Jesus, when Jesus walked up on Palm Sunday and all the children were crying, Hosanna and Hosanna, and they were told off by the Pharisees, he said, if they don't, the very stones will cry out. So there's a sense in which the whole of creation cries out praise. Last time I came, I was preaching on Psalm 19, which begins, all heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord, the glory of God. So not only us, the saints and the angels in heaven are worshipping. Now that can be a big encouragement. If you are in a small congregation, dwindling, and you think it's only us, actually we're part of a massive heavenly choir. I don't know whether you've ever been in a choir, but to be part, when you go to the Albert Hall and you see the whole orchestra there and then the great choir in the stalls, must be a fantastic sense of all these voices and instruments coming together to praise God. There's one final question, which isn't in the psalm really, but that's, when should I praise God? Well, the answer is, not just when I feel like it. You know, when you wake up in the morning, are you one of those people who, you know, instantly starts praising God? You know, there's two kinds of people, aren't there? There's the people who get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. And the others who say, good Lord, morning. I'm probably one of those, but when should we praise God? Well, we should praise him all the time. But, you know, we can take that too far. I mean, I used to read Selwyn Hughes's Every Day with Jesus. And I do remember some of them quite clearly. And he told this story about a group of students who formed a PTLA club, Praise the Lord Always. And these students, as students often do, took it a bit too extreme. So, praise the Lord anyway. But it got to the extreme of going to visit somebody who'd just been bereaved and saying, oh, praise the Lord anyway. I mean, that is just not very wise, shall we say. However, as I said before, the praise of the Psalms often comes out of lament. You can praise the Lord in all circumstances, but it's not up for me to tell somebody else when they should be praising. Do you see what I mean? But it is possible to praise all of the time, but sometimes it's very painful. Sometimes it's very costly. And that you've only got to read the Psalms of Lament. But finally, there is a statement here. Praise the Lord. After all of this stuff, praise the Lord. It's a command. We are commanded to praise the Lord. Now, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sing you a song. I wasn't going to plan to do this, so I just hope I can remember it. It's also on that CD if you want. And this is one. Sometimes I'm not really much of a songwriter, but sometimes when I've been in my study, just the words come, and I find myself not for a few years, but I used to just occasionally. Just be playing a few chords and then find something comes. Lord, alone I give you praise. Worship you through all my days. Highs and lows, Lord, you amaze me with your faithfulness. Lord, alone I give you praise. I worship you through all my days. In highs and lows, Lord, you amaze me with your faithfulness. In days of pain and waiting, in times of quiet joy, my Savior's arms embracing me, long life's onward way. Lord, alone I give you praise. I worship you through all my days. In highs and lows, Lord, you amaze me with your faithfulness. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. We've got some good Anglicans here, haven't we? Let's try that again. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.